Blog Talk Radio.
Howdy, welcome to Homemade Business 101. My name is Isaiah. I have the pleasure of introducing the host. You know him, he's everybody's hero, my best friend. Will you please join me in welcoming my granddaddy, Baba Jahi?
Well. Good evening. Sorry, we're starting a few minutes late, but as they usually always said, better late than never. So we're going to get the show under the road, on the road, and get things happening and kicking. Mr. Murphy, you there?
Yes, sir, I'm here.
Okay, all right. A lot going on out there in the news as we face different issues that are impacting the African-American community. And one of the biggest issues that I wanted to share last week was Minister Louis Farrakhan getting banned from Facebook. And, again, the power of the media and the power of how these different platforms work, and that when you don't own your own, there's another social media platform out there called Black Enough For You, that Dr. Boyce Watkins has started, and I'll be checking more into that so I can know how that platform is set up and works. But as you always say, David, you know, we own less than 1% of the media, and that the media can do what they want to do and treat us how they want to treat us. And, you know, there's a lot of people who are sort of in an uproar and upset that Facebook and Instagram banned Minister Farrakhan alike from their platform. What's your take on that?
Well, as usual, you know, it was, yes, we own less than 1% of the media, and so 90%, 90-plus percentages are to the larger community. And when you yield such type of power and you don't feel no repercussions to your actions, then, you know, they do as they please. Because, you know, we'll make a little noise and, you know, crowd and hold up a sign or two, but they will continue on. They know the patterns that we do. But they're going to do them. It's about time that we learn to do us. And when we start doing us, then we can control our own media. We can control our own destiny, so to speak. And you know, I don't like saying this, but it's the truth. You know, propaganda is a powerful tool, and you can use it wisely for conventional purpose. You can also use it as a tool to manipulate, or you can use it as a tool to assist people with. But unfortunately, most people, those who are mostly in power, use it for their own purposes, and I can't fault a person who uplifts their own. You know, but everybody, you know, have an agenda, you know, so they concerned about what's going on in their communities as much as we are concerned about our community. So they're going to do what they do. Sometimes they feel as though black people may be a threat to them, and that's the way they feel. So they're going to put up all kinds of defenses to do so. They'll put out all type of propaganda to confirm what they want to do. So by me being a part of the media, you being part of the media, we have to do what we can to promote ourselves. Why should we have the internet is open to everybody? So why don't we have a black space or, you know, all kinds of stuff? We had them, but we'd rather take our services to other communities and let them dictate to us what they want to do. Our children wearing clothes, but they dictate, you know, the way they dictate. And so, you know, go on and on and on, Brother Satai. But look, Brother Satai, where I have maybe a guest or two that's going to be on this broadcast tonight. I don't know if you see Brother Bill's Gooden telephone number.
410-435-0000. 0150.
Exactly.
I believe so. And we may have another guest on here, Mr. Aaron. But I mean, if he chooses to come on. But in any case, you know, getting back to this black media thing, you know, my partner Bill Gooden and I, we was on a couple of radio shows today. We was on the Larry Young Morning Show as well as Loose Phil Show today. And, you know, it's a voice. It's a small voice, but at least it's being heard. And so, you know, we have to do what we can, like I say, network. See, here we are, you and I together. Early today, we were together with them. And so we have to do everything within our power to get our voices heard. And because, like I say, the larger community is going to do them. It's about time we start doing us. Brother Bill, are you available, Bill?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay. So, Brother Bill, you can chime in or hop in anytime you feel like it because, like I say, media is a powerful tool, and we just have to do what we can to promote ourselves. What's your take on that, Bill?
Well, you know, I think basically, you know, first of all, how you doing, Brother Satari? And then I think, David, I think, first of all, you said everything. You know, the reality is this, man, is that, you know, Farrakhan have a powerful voice. If David Murphy, Satari, or either Bill Gooden voice was as powerful as Farrakhan, then we would be banned too. So like David said, you know, you can't blame the people that against you to stop you from using their vehicle to organize the people that they against. You know, so I mean, Farrakhan got a bigger reach, you know, than most of us. You know, it's like if Marcus Garvey was alive, they probably would ban Marcus Garvey. You know, so again, you know, it comes down to the things that we need to do for ourselves, opposed to, you know, being so critical because they banned us. And you know, how do we implement our own that belong to us? You know, and again, that's the whole purpose and the good thing about the Black National Unity newspaper. You know what I'm saying? I mean, listen, they can't ban Farrakhan from that because it belonged to us. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, I mean, what we control, then we control. What we don't, then we at the mercy of other people that controls it. And that's my take. You know, I mean, we simply have to be in a position to do things for ourselves. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you know, when we always constantly asking other people for something, then, I mean, you know, we at the mercy of other people that we have to go to and ask for it.
Yes, sir. We have another caller on, 443-602-6194.
That's me.
Go ahead.
That's it's Fran Allen. I have to, you know, follow my fellas around and you know, chime in where I can.
Okay. What's your take on the topic we're discussing right now, Fran?
Oh, I'm in total agreement with Bill and David. We have to control our own narrative. It's time for us to stop waiting for somebody else to tell our story and for each of us to tell the chapter of our story that we are in control of. My life is my chapter. Your life is your chapter. David and Bill's lives are their chapters. And we all have different experiences in those chapters that make up the narrative that is the Black experience. And there are a bunch of positive, amazing, extraordinary, powerful things that have happened in each one of those chapters, and they need to be shared. And if you're waiting for mainstream media to do that, you're going to be waiting. They are going to take our narrative, they are going to twist it to suit their own purpose, and they're never going to tell our story with all the details in it in the order that they go in such a way that benefits us, only if it benefits them. All that's time for us to stop waiting on that. We gotta control our own narrative and push our story forward the way we know it should be pushed.
All right, I had a chance also, friend, to watch that documentary that you suggest I watch on educating Black boys in Baltimore, and it was a real good documentary done by Mr.
I know it was,
so,
yeah.
Thank you for that recommendation, because my wife who's substitute school teachers in the county, you know, get a chance to watch the documentary too. You know, we discussed some of the issues that were brought up in that documentary, and you know, the impact of single moms,
yeah.
You know, raising boys in terms of their fathers
right.
not being in their lives or whatever, and it's people remember from two key rappers, you know, Tupac and 50 Cent. You know, 50 Cent was trying to find his father. And Tupac said in a video, he said, you know, I might have turned out better if I had a father. So
right.
we've always said in the organization that I belong to called the African American Male Leadership Institute, we've always said that their fathers are the missing ingredient, and that when you find fathers that are involved in their children's lives, you usually find a stronger, more stable child. So,
right.
That's not to take anything away from the wonderful job that all of the sisters are doing out there to raise their sons in the absence of the dad not being in the child's lives. So that's,
right.
you know, so again, you know, kudos to our female warriors and sisters and all of them who celebrated Mother's Day yesterday. So I want to wish them a belated Happy Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day to you also, Frank.
Thank you. Thank you, Fatali. You know, when you were talking about the piece about single moms raising black sons, I have a son, too. And I got to tell you, it is absolutely true that if the father is not in the son's life, then at the very least, you have to find another member of the village to step in to impart those things about being a man that only a man can impart to your son.
Still there, Frank?
I don't know. Yeah, I'm still here. Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
You know, I can't teach my son anything about being a man because I don't know anything about being a man. But what I can do is introduce him to other men who have.
I think I lost
you,
Frank.
No, Satari, I can hear her. Fran.
Yes.
Bill,
yeah,
Bill
Goodnight. I can hear you.
Okay, so to conclude my point, I always thought that it was very important for my children to have or to maintain a relationship with their father, and no matter what station or phase or position we were in, we always made sure that the children had access to both of us equally because we were their parents, and that one shouldn't have more access than the other, one shouldn't have more say than the other. We had to learn how to work together and come together to the whatever the right decision was for the benefit of the child. We had to set aside our own emotional challenges because they didn't serve us in terms of what we had to do to come together to raise these kids, particularly my son.
Okay. You know, Brother Satawi, can you hear me? Maybe he's having some difficulty on his end. But Fran, Bill Gooden, you still available?
Yeah, I hear you.
Okay, so you know we are carrying the fort, you know, until he gets control together. But you know, Fran, how you doing again? You know, this we crossing each other paths quite regularly today. You know, but
yes,
in any case, it's all
yes,
good. Because
we
all moving forward. You know, and he started off with the conversation of
All right, we seem to be having some technical difficulty. I'm going to dial out. Call back in.
Call back in, brother, because if you can hear me, we can.
Hey, if he dial on, is that going to knock us off?
We'll find out in a second. But in any case, you know, while we're still live on the air, I believe we're still live on the air, because I can hear the both of you. And so, you know, evidently it's working. But Let's move on to a little deeper conversation. You know, you were just mentioning that raising a son,
Mm-hmm.
And it's difficult. I don't care, man, child, woman, child. You know, it's mm-hmm. difficult to raise a child, especially in a
yes,
black community.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, because there's so many obstacles that have to be overcome. And you know, and sometimes larger systems are in place that make it almost like a landmine to complete, you know, if you want to be successful
right.
in this country. But in any case, you know, we are resilient people. We have overcome many obstacles, you know, but so many of us have fallen by the way because of the trap that was set before us. And things in life are just not fair. Just be honest about it. You know, there's people who will like our demise. And we as parents, men, women, whatever, we do everything within our being to raise our children the best way we know how.
Yep.
But it's unfortunately that we have to go through this. It seems like, you know, it's just logical to me that every child can bring a contribution to society. And why would you want to snuff that out? You know, that same child could have a cancer for cure if you would allow him to grow and prosper, you know, in his own way.
Right.
But unfortunately, you know, we get cut off. We have the pipeline from the school system to the penal institutions. And they make drugs so available, you know, attractive for one thing, so that you can get quick, instant money sometimes. And so it's a lot of little pitfalls, that little carrot that they dangle in front of our youth. Like I say, we were talking about media, how they dangle, I got to get mine, you got to get yours. You know, they want the twinkle or the bling and everything else. But, you know, and the nice cars and the big houses and everything else, but, you know, there's the price you have to pay to get some of them things, you know. It's not a microwave, you know, you can't have it in a microwave attitude. And so, you know, we have to reset our mindset. And so, you know, if there is a way that we can change this narrative that you was, you know, alluding to earlier on Fran Allen, was this.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, we know what the problems are. We know what's from the hood, and we know what's from the outside as well. We know that a lot of things being perpetrated against us. And since we mm-hmm. know these things, since we are aware of these obstacles, you know, we have to come up with solutions. And no matter what, because like I say, we overcame so many situations in this country and beyond that, you know, that all things are I believe all things are possible, and we believe that we can do things. And so I just want to throw something out at you, Bill, as well as you, Fran. You know, mm-hmm. like I said, we're aware of the issues out here, all the traps before our young people. And so when it comes to education, I'm talking about parenting, you know, we got children raising children. And,
yes, you know,
because like I say, you know, now from generation to generation, I had a conversation the other night, Fran, you know, we was on the New Phil shows earlier today, and he was
mm-hmm.
talking about the event they had. But we were sitting at the table, Bill Goodman and I were sitting at the table with this gentleman, and we went back into the day, as we say. We were talking about the way we was raised up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when we had people that, you know, they demanded respect, you know. But then again, we had everything in our hood that we needed. We had our own businesses. Our teachers lived in the community. Everybody lived in the hood pretty much, because you couldn't go pretty, you know, anywhere else pretty much. And so you saw a positive role model. You seen all types of people doing all types of wonderful things. But now the day has turned. They made certain communities a prison within themselves. And
mm-hmm.
so, you know, there's more difference. Like I say, my day was way better than I believe what's going on today. But but unfortunately, being what it is, let's see if we can come up with some type of solution so that our listening audience can maybe we can assist and maybe they can assist us, you know, with ways, solutions that we can overcome some of these obstacles. Bill, I'm going to start with you, man. You know, Brother Bill, you know, you wrote several books recently, and one of the main factors in your books was dealing with emotions. And that's a major factor because there's a saying, hurting people hurts people. And so when our children are hurting and our parents are hurting, our community is hurting, that's a lot of hurt to go around. Mm-hmm. And so what do you suggest that how we overcome some of this painful situation that we have?
Well, you know, a number of things. First of all, you know, I think Fran Allen said it basically when you're talking about that, we have to create our own narrative. You know what I'm saying? And our narrative have to be in terms of what's good for us by us. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I guess the whole challenge is that it have to be collaborative and it have to be unified to a large degree and not just very small pockets, but we have to have bigger pockets for people to buy into solutions and saying, you know, we say, well, listen, you know, if we got 10,000 people and we say, listen, you know, we're going to make an agreement between us that we only spending our money with black people, then that become our narrative. So if them 10,000 people actually do that, then other people are going to join it because it becomes a movement. You know, so, I mean, we really have to create movements that identifiable, you know, and I give you a classic example. You know, it's just like today when you look at the young brothers with the pants hanging down. Hey, listen, it's like that because enough of them do it that the rest of them need to do it because it sends a signal. You see what I'm saying? So, you know, it's just like back in our day, when you're talking about back in our day, David, you know, we had afros, we throw our fists up. But it was a movement and everybody wanted to do it. So, you know, we have to create something that become popular enough that enough of us wants to join. And I give you, and I'm going to give you an example, then I'm going to let Fran Allen chime in. Now, you know, Fran, me and David put a couple books together. And, you know, fortunately or unfortunately, you know, we got part one and part two to a book called Cold Bitch. Now, you know, it's not to have an indictment upon women, but, you know, it was just a love story between two senior citizens where the man loved the woman more than she loved him. And, you know, I mean, how he did it, it was cold. So, you know, the title was just basically attractive title. Well, you know, you have some people in the community that have problems with the title. Now, you know, okay, I'm okay with that, but like I tell people, you know, the same people that have problems with the title, they'll go to the movie and see Tyler Perry, and we'll be laughing. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm,
but, you know, but
mm-hmm.
when we know people directly, then we feel that we could challenge them because we know them and they're not the Tyler Perry. You see what I'm saying? But
right,
we're going to pay
right.
$15-$20 to see Tyler Perry, and then cursing and calling all kind of names, and we laughing. You see what I'm saying? So, you know, when we
right.
talking about creating our narrative, then our narrative had to be big enough that, you know, I'm not going to tell Fran Allen how she need to do. And, you know, you said it today, Fran. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, you had to be big enough when people saying, well, Fran, this ain't going to work. Then if you become discouraged because somebody else is telling you what's not going to work for you, then you'd never have an opportunity to see if that part of your dream could become a reality.
Exactly. Exactly. That's exactly what I was trying to get across today. You know, the level of success that I have achieved in my life is not necessarily all that I've intended to achieve in my life, but I am leaps and bounds and shoulders and heads above where I would have been if I had listened to all the people that told me, don't go left, go right. And when I would
right.
say why, they would say, well, because that's the way I went. But see, their path was not for me. Their path was for them. And so whatever worked for them is fine. But I have greater ideas about what I am capable of than other people have had of what I was capable of. And I decided that I was going to reach for those stars anyway because I believed that I had the ability and the potential and the intellect to actually achieve what I was reaching for. Now, there are other people that thought, you want too much. You're trying to do too much. you're just trying to be more than you really can be. And I'm like, but whose opinion is that? That's an opinion. But if you let
Absolutely.
Other people drive you based on what they think you can do or what they think you can have, you're not going to have nothing.
Absolutely.
Because
Absolutely.
Other people are never going to push you as high as you can go if it means they have to do something that they're uncomfortable with to help you get there. So you got to do it yourself.
Absolutely. Look, that's the same way, and I'm going to say this, you know, because, you know, David always have a saying talking about your gift will make a way. And that's true,
yep.
You know what I'm saying? But if you don't give your gift a chance and you don't work at your gift, you know
mm-hmm.
what I'm saying, then your gift ain't going to give you nothing. You
that's
see what
right.
I'm saying? You know, so,
yeah.
You know, I mean, again, you know, you have to recognize your gift. I'm going to shut down and let David shine, man. You know, I always tell people, and in fact, in the book from the Rebel of the Ashes that me and David put out, then, you know, I talked about, like, when I was growing up, it was 8 of us. It was 4 boys and 4 girls. Well, you know, my father was kind of self-employed, and, you know, he was good with his hands, doing carpentry and everything else. And my other brothers, then they kind of picked up that trade. You know, I tried to, but
mm-hmm.
I never could. You know what I'm saying? So as
mm-hmm.
a young guy,
mm-hmm.
I kind of feel bad because I couldn't do it. You see what I'm saying? But as you get
yeah.
older, you realize that everything is not meant for everybody. You see what
right.
I'm saying? So, you know, the things that I could do, they, you see what I'm saying? So, you know,
yep.
again, that becomes a challenge in terms that we have to explore our gifts that God has given us and find a way
right.
to try to work and gifts to make them successful for us.
That's true. That's true. And if you don't use what God gave you, you'll give it to somebody else.
Absolutely.
That's right. But you know, listening in, you know what the subject matter is. You know, everybody has an opinion about this and about that, and there's nothing
mm-hmm.
wrong with it. Like I say, that's just what we know. We have. And we have opinions on it. Don't make sometimes it may be right, some may be wrong, but you know, you are what you believe that you are. And so, with that being said, you know, some people say it's a burden, you know, but I think it's a blessing to love your people, to love yourself. And you know, and when I see, because like I say, because I noticed that some people try to box us up and put us in a certain situation.
Mm-hmm.
But when I see little children, I don't care what color they are, what nationality they are, they guard gifts, you know. And,
mm-hmm.
and there's so much potential in that individual. If like you say, like Bill was just saying, if they had a chance to nurture those gifts and to share those gifts. And you know, this could be such a beautiful world, but see, we've been indoctrinated. We've been poisoned.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people
mm-hmm.
had perpetrated our mindset through propaganda and all other sorts of media. And it's unfortunately a lot of us has been plagued with this thing, you know, because the school system teaches certain things. Our families have been passed down certain information from generation to generation. You know, we have the hood telling you another thing. So we got all of these sports. We got the internet now and everything
mm-hmm.
else that coming at our young people saying this is the way to go or this is the thing to be. And
mm-hmm.
so, it, you know, you can, and then you have your own mindset, your God-given own
yep.
power. So it can be extremely confusing
yep.
when you're trying to find a way. But in any case, I have a brother sitting next to me right now, and he was listening to the entire broadcast, and he kind of urged me and nudged me that he wants to get on air and speak about something. I don't know exactly what he wants to speak about, but you know, but this is what I'm talking about. This is communication. This don't make brain drop some nuggets that we all need. So, but you know, but I think Fran Allen, he may have something he want to speak to you about. So,
okay,
I'm gonna let him introduce himself.
How you doing, friend?
Hi.
Hello, Miss. Okay. My name is Aaron, and I want to talk to you. I understand you have a son. How old is your son?
Oh, my son is 32 now. He's a grown man. He's a grown man with a son.
well, I can't help you out. I'm just messing with you. But really, but for those who are out there who have younger sons, because, you know, by now he should be working with you or working his own way out of things right now. But I have.
Oh, well,
I have,
I mean, he's overcome quite a bit. He's overcome quite a bit. But
okay.
I attribute some of that success to the fact that I insisted that my son have a relationship with his father.
Okay.
And so when the relationship between me and his father didn't work out, I didn't keep my son from his father. On the contrary,
okay.
I made sure that they maintained a relationship from the very beginning. No matter whether his father and I could stand in the same room for 5 minutes without getting on each other's
okay.
nerves, I'd leave the room. If he needed to have a conversation with his father or his father needed to instruct him in some way, they didn't need me. They were talking man stuff. It wasn't nothing I could contribute to the conversation because I was a woman. So I let the men be men. I let those males interact in the way that only they could because, you know, I don't have that experience and I don't have a contribution toward that.
I understand, and that, with that in mind, I want those who might be listening out here, including yourself,
mm-hmm.
because I have a gentleman who could probably hip them to what they need to do and so forth,
mm-hmm.
especially in the, well, I was more or less hoping it was in the teenage area, but like you say, it's in 30-plus area, but still...
Mm-hmm.
This guy can give him very good information. And so if anybody out there has a pen and some paper and so forth, his name is Cameron Miles. Have you heard of him?
Oh, of course I do. I know Cameron Miles. Cameron Miles runs mentoring
right.
male teens in the hood.
Mentoring boys in the hood. Mentoring boys in the hood, correct.
Male,
exactly.
Yes.
Exactly.
And I've known Cameron for 20 years. He does this thing with these kids, and he
right.
doesn't have a budget. He does it out of his own pocket. He raises funds. He hits for philanthropists
correct.
For contributions.
Correct.
And he
exactly.
takes them on a trip every year. And he takes
exactly.
them to a fine dining experience. I know all about Cameron because
he
I've
takes
done
many
them things.
Into many, many trips throughout the years.
Yes,
at the same
yes,
time,
yes.
he's getting ready to go to where Martin Luther King was shot at. And,
okay,
do you Selma? Know the state that? You know,
Memphis,
huh?
Memphis, Memphis, Memphis,
Memphis. Memphis,
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 okay.
yeah.
All right, okay. So I just want to let those who are out there, I'm going to give you his number. But he already has that trip set up. But he can help those who are in the teens, 19 on down.
Mm-hmm.
And I think
mm-hmm.
that would be good for those guys because you got to catch them really when they're three.
Yes,
yes,
two, yes.
One,
mm-hmm.
you know. And but Cameron Miles' number is 443-938-0318.
Can you repeat that?
Oh, I would definitely complete that again. 443-938-0318. Cameron Miles, Mentoring Boys in the Hood. Okay, and what he does, like what you just said, he does things in which great boys, he meets with them every week or every other week. I'm not sure exactly on that. And his trip is costing him plenty of money. And
yeah.
he's going to get that. That's no problem. Oh, he got that.
Mm-hmm.
No problem. No problem.
Mm-hmm.
My church
mm-hmm.
and so forth, his church and so forth, he's got that. But the thing is, I mean, we have to go out there and get that. But at the same time, I appreciate Cameron Miles for doing this because when they put that stuff out there for the guys who wanted to contribute, out there in the state, giving to different groups, they didn't give it to Cameron Miles.
Right.
They didn't give it to him. But you know why I didn't give it to him? Because he knew he had that information out there. Okay. But I'm gonna close with this. And about the Farrakhan situation. Farrakhan, he's gonna be good. As a matter of fact, there's more publicity for him. He's not even concerned about that, you know, really. But at the same time, I'm just going to leave with that. I just did a drive by, and I thank you, everybody, for having me on. Thank you.
All right, you're welcome.
Yeah, man. You know, I know we're getting close to the hour. You know, and we got to take care of some business. And so the business is, you know, again, I publish a newspaper called the National Black Unity News, in which Brother Bill Gooden is a part of, Sister Fran Allen is a part of, and our host, Brother Satavi Jahi and his wife is a part of. And we come together for the sole purpose of uplifting our people. You know, we bring concrete solutions to our problems. Mm-hmm. See, there are a lot of people talking about this and talking about that, but see, we have to come up with solutions. As I mentioned to you before, you know, we know the issues in the community, but we need concrete solutions. And so, ladies and gentlemen, I encourage you to support the National Black Unity News. And we will be having an event on June the 8th, 2019 at the Nala's Kitchen at 5722 York Road from 1 to 3 a.m. It's representing the authors of the National Black Unity News as well as the editors. Fran Allen will be presenting there. Brother Bill Gooden will be presenting. They are both authors of many books. And then we have quite a few other authors in the publication. So we encourage the tickets are only $10 and it's going for worthy causes. One is for to support the Black Bull Youth Scouting Program. And the other one is to support God Giving Hands, which is an organization that helps feed and shelter the homeless. And so, you know, ladies and gentlemen, come out and get great information. Meet the authors, meet the editors of this great publication. And at the same time, support some worthy causes. See, this is solution-oriented. Yes. You know, we can all talk about it, but we have to learn to be about it. And so, with that being said, I know Brother Satawa, are you back on?
Yes, sir, I'm back on. I've been on for a while.
Okay, good. And so, with that being said, you know, I know it's about 10 after, and we got started, you know, a little late. But in any case, you know, I just want the general public to know. See, I'm the type of person, you know, we can talk about a lot of things, but sometimes we have to get credit where it's due. And the guests on this broadcast, and I appreciate my brother Aaron for supporting us, and for this brother always supported the publication. Not only did he support it, he shares it all over the communities, and he support our breakfasts and things like that. So he's a true social, and I appreciate the brother for that. And also Bill Gooden, who's my partner, you know, in the publication as well as in the publishing services with our books. And he's a long-term soldier. And Brother Satavi, he and I go back, I mean, I can't even count years anymore. It's so bad. But, you know, he's a true soldier who had put in the work. And just like I tell people, he had the battle scars to prove it. But last but not least, my sister Fran Allen. Man, I'm going to tell y'all something. You know, this sister, man, you know, I have the utmost respect and love for this young lady because, you know, even back in the day, she supported me. You know, during some of my roughest time now, I was bumping my head here and there, you know, but she always came up, you know. Come on, dude, you can do this, you know, but she was all extremely supportive. And not only that, she's talented, you know, so. You know, I mean, ladies and gentlemen, you know, we got some true soldiers on this airways right now. And see, you know, and this is right here in the Baltimore area. But, you know, we got soldiers all over the country and all over the world. All we have to do is what we are doing, right? See, we're demonstrating this. And like I said earlier today, Fran Allen, Bill Gooden, and I, we was on a couple of radio shows earlier today. Mm. No, we just not just talking about it. We shouting it out there. Because we truly love our people. I mean, we generally care about us. We want us to do better for us, because this is not just about us anymore. It's about our children and our children's children. So, mm-hmm. ladies and gentlemen, y'all have to come on board. You know, like I say, nobody is an island. We have to, you know, teamwork makes the dream work. When we can bring our collective thoughts and our collective works together, that's a powerful force. Because that's mm-hmm. exactly what they're doing against us. They're bringing their forces together to keep us in a certain yep. situation. Some people don't mm-hmm. even want us no more. They actually for your demise. But I tell you mm-hmm. what, God is good and God is great, you know. And but like I said, we are resilient people. And ladies and gentlemen, with that being said, brothers of time, and turn it back over to you, sir.
Yes, sir. Thank you, thank you. Yeah, I got cut off there for a little bit, but that you know, joke still prevailed. And when I dialed back in, you know, I can just hear y'all talking. So, you know, I was thankful that we didn't lose the broadcast. But, you know, anyway, me, my wife, and my sister-in-law, we had a chance last night to watch Hidden Colors 2. And I didn't know that was a five-part series, because I got to get Hidden Colors 1. We got 2, and we got to watch 3, 4, and 5. But one of the things that's in that movie or that documentary is that Dr. Claude Anderson talks about the problem of how white people came together and band together to make sure that, you know, that we couldn't move into their neighborhoods. And then KRS-One, who's on there, also said if you had a conversation with somebody back in the days of slavery, you know, out there picking cotton, you'd ask them, say, you know, what are you doing? He said you'd have 3 different answers. Say one person would say, you know, what it look like I'm doing? I'm picking cotton. You know, and then you'd have another one who would answer, well, yeah, I'm picking cotton. And, you know, this white man, he got me locked down, and it's terrible. He said, and then you'd have, you know, a third person who would respond to that and say, you know, well, I'm here trying to figure out a way out. Would have found me a way out of this mess, you know. So that was the minority thought. He said, and if you mm-hmm. were to, you know, to do today, if you were to do today and ask them the same 3 questions, he said, you know, you'd have a person who said, well, yeah, I'm working for FedEx, but, you know, they're kicking my ass every day. The money good. I'm able to survive. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I'm stuck there. And then you'd mm-hmm. have somebody else that answer that question. Say, well, you know, what it look like I'm doing, you know? Yeah, the white man, he got us, you know, locked down and this, that, and the other. He give you all of the problems of, you know, why there's no way out. And then you'd have that person who respond. He said, you know, like KRS-One said, you know, he said you'd have a guy that responded and says, man, I'm emceeing. As soon as I find a way out of that rat race, yes, I'm gone. Lickety-split. And, you know, and those same questions, if we ask those to the general audience of what's going on and how you fit into the scheme of things, you know, the answer's going to be pretty much the same in terms of those 3 different answers. And one of the things that one of my instructors used to talk about during the days when we had this class on antebellum slavery, he said that there was those people that were upstreamers. People that swam against the tide that went upstream. Because that was the Frederick Douglasses, that was the Harriet Tubmans, that was the Martin Delaney's, the people who thought outside the box to look for solutions to what was going on, which people thought was obvious in terms of how they looked at things and saw things and could never, ever think of a way out. And one of the beauties of today is because of those upstreamers and those people who used to sit on their rocking chairs but was active back in them days doing slavery on the plantation and said, you know, hey, I'm just going to keep pushing forward because better days are going to be coming. And, you know, we are the generation that have inherited those better days that our ancestors, you know, who could not see freedom in their lifetime but had the vision, enough vision to be able
to see freedom in our time. And a lot of times I ask myself, you know, how did they persevere? You know, what was it that kept them going? And the thing is, the number one answer is them planting seeds or planting shade trees that they one day would not sit under. And so, you know, that was the conclusion last night when we came to the end of the documentary, and, you know, the people was talking about where do we go from here, where will we end up at, you know, and people saying how eventually this country is going to be a majority country of people of color, and, you know, it might be another, well, they said by 2045 that's going to be the dominant significance in terms of race in this country. And, you know, so, you know, I remember my sister-in-law said, but we'd be dead by then. I said, yeah, what? I said, you know, our ancestors who lived during the days of slavery, you know, when people told them, so, yeah, maybe another 100 years from now, things would be different, is that they knew that they were fighting for our future. And so that they kept moving forward and pushing forward. And it reminds me of a saying from Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. He said this saying called, work for this life like you're going to live forever, and work for the next life like you're going to die tomorrow. And what's work for the things that you work for, as though they're going to exist forever. You know, so that way you won't be in that thing, or I won't see it in my lifetime. You're planting the seeds for someone else to see it in their lifetime, and then you got to work for the next life, or what some people would call the afterlife. You got to work for that life like you're going to die tomorrow. It's like, you know, if you wake up each day, this could be my last day here on earth. What am I going to do today? How am I going to bless somebody? What is it that I can do that's going to leave a lasting impression upon people if they never see me another day? And one of the things that out of the greatest salesman, Ogbed Dingo, one of the things he talks about in his 10 scrolls is to live this day as if it's your last. And so, you know, I've been focusing on that and really trying to apply that to my life, that each day. And what I found is that it helps me push through a little bit more when I feel like calling it quits. And I said, okay, well, let me go ahead and do a little bit more because this could be my last day here on earth. So not that I want it to be my last day here on earth, but if we approach each day as if it's our last, and what can I get out of doing what I'm going to do today, and how will it benefit those that's coming behind me? What is it that they can be able to get from my life's experience and help them push a little bit harder, a little bit further? And that's, you know, a thing that we want to make sure that we do. So, you know, so that's my take on everything that was said and shared. And you get a chance, you definitely want to watch Hidden Colors, especially Hidden Colors 2. That was the one I looked at last night. And, you know, it's great, great documentary and how it was put together. And the information in there was powerful. And that's all I have to really say on that. So back over to you, David.
Okay, great. Yes, I've seen the whole series of Hidden Colors. Yes, powerful stuff, you know. And I encourage everybody to look at it, just like I encourage everybody today to look at the National Black Unity News. And because, like I say, it's powerful stuff as well. Like I said, we control, like Fran said, you know, we have to learn to control our own narratives. And, you know, we have to speak up. You know, we have to be about it. We have to stand in the gap, you know. And it's unfortunately, like I said, it's sad, really, that, you know, other people feel the way they do. But, you know, God always raises up a remnant of people who's willing to take a stand. And I am so pleased. I'm extremely pleased to have people in my camp like Fran Allen, Bill Gooden, Satari Jahi, you know, because, you know, together we are powerful forces. Individually, we are powerful forces. But, you know, when we come together, we are forced to be reckoned with. And so, ladies and gentlemen, this is some serious time, and it takes serious people. You know, all of us, you know, I'm talking about the people on this phone call right now who participated in this phone call. You know, most people in our age bracket talking about sitting on the beach, sitting on the front porch, taking it easy. Talking about my day, I done did my thing, and I'm going to sit back and take care of me now. You don't know, but you know, we got work to do. Everybody on this phone, we ain't thinking about sitting there. We just, as a matter of fact, we feel like we're just getting up. You know, because like I say, the harvest is great out there, and we putting in the work. So we ain't just talking about it. You know, Fran out there, she had 4 books. Bill Gooden got 6 books. Satire, we've been putting in work for 40 years. I've been 40 years, and we got publication, we speaking engagements, we out there in the vineyard, ladies and gentlemen. And so I encourage you so greatly to support each and every one of us because we are here to support you. And I know we don't have that much time there, so I'm going to start with you, Fran, and I'm going to go to Bill, and I want you to share some information about who you are, what you're doing, and why you're doing it. And let people know how they can get in contact with you.
Okay. Well, I'm gonna take my last few minutes and share this. No matter what the ethnicity of the people are, there are really only 3 kinds of people. There are the people that make things happen. There are the people that watch things happen. And there are the people who, at the end of the day, are always asking, what happened? So I challenge you to receive that the quality of your life depends on your choice. Which one of these people are you going to choose to be? Because it is a choice. You can be the person that's making things happen. You can be the person that's watching things happen. Or you can be the person who's asking what happened. I don't know about you, but I'm going to be making some things happen. And to that end, I am the CEO and owner of Self-Development Success, which is a company that's focused on helping people raise the quality of their lives through self-development. I'm also a motivational speaker, a change agent, an event facilitator, and a nonprofit fundraiser. So if you need some help in any of those areas, you can reach me at 443-602-6194, 443-602-6194. Need help? Just holler.
All right, Mr. Bill Gooden.
Well, Dave, I think that basically, you know, you kind of summed it up. I think everybody on this headline is people that's not just trying to live for yourself, you know, but you're trying to make sure that while you're living, you can make the world become a better place. And the only way the world could become a better place is that we impact people that's in the world to help them to make the world a better place. So I think that, you know, when you said that even though, you know, we may be up in age, but all of us still got work to do, so neither one of us has finished our work, and we're still working because our mission is to live this life, and when we leave this life, others knowing that we have been here and that we've made a difference in their lives.
Okay. Fran and Bill, I didn't hear anything. Give out your telephone number so people know how to get in touch with both of you. Fran?
Oh, okay. My phone number for Fran Allen at Self Development Success is 443-602-6194.
443-602-6194. Bill Gooden?
Yes, Bill Gooden, 410-746-3607.
And I can be reached, David Murphy, the National Black Unity News, at 443-455-2373. Brother Satari, back to you, sir.
Yes, sir. And I can be reached at 252-458-3712. And, you know, anybody that need help with taxes, I'm also the CEO of Movements Unlimited, which is a 501c3 nonprofit that's been in existence for over 30 years. And we go way back, done a lot of work in the community, have done work in Baltimore, New Orleans, North Carolina, and Philadelphia and Washington, D.C. So, you know, we've done a very, very
distinguished track record and would love to be able to provide any type of assistance that you need. Our website is www.movements, that's M-O-V-E-M-E-N-T-S, unlimited, unlimited.net. And you can get all the information you need about how to reach us and get in contact with us.
Okay, so, you know, with that being said, ladies and gentlemen, I appreciate each and every one of you who's on this, who's participating in this broadcast, but I greatly appreciate the listening audience, because without you, you know, none of this, you know, needs to take place. You know, it's about us, about we. And I encourage you to listen to this show next week, support our participants, because we are here to support you. And, ladies and gentlemen, we at work. You know, there's a lot of work to be done. You know, and we can't, you know, we have to be that man in the mirror, that woman in the mirror. You know, we have to look at ourselves. We can't sit back and say, why somebody don't do this or don't do that. You do what you have to do. You're accountable to you. And most important, you're accountable to God. Make your life work. Make it worthwhile. And I thank God for this opportunity, for you, Brother Satari, for, you know, bringing forth this format for us to share information. And I appreciate Mr. Bill Gooden, as well as Ms. Fran Allen, who are longtime soldiers who have put in the work and continue to do so. And again, we thank you for, you know, taking your time listening to us. And I know, Brother Satari, you want to close us out, sir.
Yes, sir. I'll close us out. You know, what I want to do is close us out with making sure that people understand how to be able to access what we call the vortex. What is the vortex? The vortex is a consumer booking engine that helps you save on your travel. And you can go to www.myvortex365.com/MU Group, G-R-O-U-P, and create your free account. Or you can call me at 252-458-3712. Your account that you create is free, and when you go to use it, you will save 60% on the lowest retail internet price that you find on the internet. And the reason you find that that price works that way is because we have an algorithm which lumps together all of the different retail prices and then finds a way to beat that price by at least 60%. So that's how that works. And you create that free account, and every time that you use that account, you will save on your travel, whether it's a hotel, car rental, or resort stay. They want everything except for airplane tickets unless you take an international flight. So make sure you go there and create that free account. And, you know, I just want to thank you. Thank you. Thank you for tuning in today. And we're going to close out with our theme song called It's My Time.
Open up to the passion in me. It's a call to rise that's called. I'm in the flow.